Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks, and a hearty welcome to our drive-in theater. We have a wonderful evening's entertainment lined up for you, one that will provide several hours of pleasurable relaxation and diversion for you and your family. Did you fail to dress up for tonight's show? No tie, an old shirt and slacks, a house dress? Well, don't give it a thought. We're glad you came as you are. We just want you to enjoy yourselves. Don't forget to visit our refreshment center during the intermission or any time. You love the tasty array of snacks we have to offer. So will the youngsters. Everything is quality and so good. Mm-hmm. We hope you'll make this a weekly visit. Bring the family. Bring your friends.
Bring your rowboat.
Bring
the neighbors. Wake the kids.
Yep.
Good evening. Welcome to Erie House Radio Drive-In. It's a virtual drive-in. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with...
Yeah, we do want you to enjoy yourself, but you couple up in the balcony there, stop that. Dave Bigley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One here on this podcast. And we're here with...
This is going to go, and us people up in the balcony, you guys keep going, we're filming!
That's right.
You'll be sorry!
Yeah. people messing around in theaters. Well, whatever. You mean that actually happens?
Yes. I was an usher once, remember?
Yeah, and did you break up a few public displays of affection, Gar?
No, we used to do this. It was to get the group out so you get another group in. It's right when the credits hit. Exactly when the credits hit, you turn up the lights. So we have it all set up. We're going to clean out the theater. The credits hit. Somebody turns on the lights. I'm way down in front, and there's two folks making love in the front seat. I'm like, turn off the lights!
That's right. And get the hazmat suits.
Yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, we didn't have
probably
that going
either turn off the lights or get the camera. We're going to make some money on this.
It was the 80s. We didn't have cell phones yet.
Clean up on aisle four. All right, tonight.
I ain't touching that.
literally and figuratively.
Disposable mops, that's what it's all about.
60th anniversary of the movie anyway. Day of the Triffids is our drive-in feature. Well, half of it. We'll do the other half tomorrow. It's a BBC radio presentation. Dave will tell us more. And I remember seeing the film when it was released on American television, I think probably for the first time, because they made a big whoop-to-do about it coming to TV. And it was pretty scary. I would say it was late 60s, probably, maybe early 70s.
Yeah, but then those British movies, they all talk funny over there.
Oh,
and we talk funny compared to them. So yeah, it's both ways.
But we're here now. They're there.
So we're here. Okay, so guys, I have a question. Okay, because I have an audio book. I've got the movie. I've got this. So, in this understanding of this, the Triffids were already here because a guy was tending them and got hit with one in the head, and it was young and it didn't kill him, but it made him immune. But then there's a light storm that happened. And my understanding, the light storm was what brought the Triffids to Earth. But in this, the light storm blinds everybody. Is that correct?
Yes. At least in the movie.
So
that is my recollection as well. That is my recollection.
Yeah, in the movie, the light storm also blinded everyone.
Yes.
So the Triffids were already here, and the light storm added to the problem.
No, I thought that they... It was my understanding that the light storm was the Triffids coming here.
Yes.
That was my understanding.
But let's see what
the guy was in the hospital.
And they say that the movie is only loosely based on the 1951 novel by John Wyndham.
Yes, and I've heard that. But in both of them, the guy that's in the hospital that's going to be our main character, he got hit with one of these Triffids before the light show started. So
was that what it was?
Confused.
Because he was covered. His eyes were bandaged before before
he was recovering from an attack of a triffid.
Oh, maybe that was an advanced. Maybe that was an advanced scout.
The advanced scout.
They
solved it. There you go.
All right. Nah, let's not give too many spoilers because there's a whole lot of parts and pieces.
No, that just set up the premise. It should not have spoiled anything.
Okay, cool.
There were just two events going on. I was clarifying. My voice is garbage. I apologize.
But that's okay. My recollection is the same as you guys. It, for the most part, that there was the light storm, and the one guy happened to have been covered for whatever reason.
Right.
And there was not one of the blinded.
Right. And this was actually longer than the movie, so this may be a little closer to the novel.
Perhaps in a little more detail. Absolutely.
And this also is one of those circumstances where modern society breaks down and you have to start over. It's crazy. And it happens in zombie movies too. They have the Living Dead thing. It's society restarted. And that's what we're going to get into as well.
Yep.
Loads of fun.
Yes, and this is also, I believe, a public domain.
Get started.
Yeah. Well, in that case.
Now, before we tell the whole
lights
story.
Out. And now the movie, folks.
There we go. Our movie tonight.
We have a broadcast date. Yes.
Our movie tonight, Day of the Triffids. Originally broadcast on BBC Radio, right, Gar?
Yes, July 6th. 1968.
Yeah, it was over 6 days. As we have a 6 days over, so we have 12 parts coming. Woohoo!
And parts is parts.
Well, okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, here we go then. Let's get started with Day of the Triffids, Part 1.
There we go.
From London, we present The Day of the Triffids, John Wyndham's famous science fiction story, dramatized by Giles Cooper. The Day of the Triffids, Episode 1, The End Begins.
Hello, Elspeth.
Oh, good, Bill. I've caught you. Here, let me help you. Thanks, Estella.
We're just knocking off.
Oh, no.
What?
I've got this thing working and you're going to use it.
What is it?
Tape recorder.
Oh.
Yes, we've got it geared to the voltage of the generator at long last and you are both going to talk to it.
Both of us?
Saying what?
Everything. It's for the history.
History? Well, why us?
Because you were in on it before it even happened. From one angle, at any rate.
Well, couldn't I just write down my part?
No.
Why not?
Well, the girl who'll transcribe it is blind, as you very well know. So come on, then.
Surely there's no reason to start tonight.
Bill, I've got to take advantage of every minute the generator is on. Right, off you go. After you.
Oh, hell, I don't know. It's damn difficult to think back so far. The things we've been talking about would mean nothing to someone living then.
Yeah, have a heart. We were living then.
Well, you can't have been more than about 3. I must have been 9. Well, I know that a man called Umberto Palanguez was shown into the office of the managing director of the Arctic and European Fish Oil Company. It wasn't the first time he'd been there.
Ah, Mr. Palanguez.
Do sit down.
Thank you, senor.
I'm afraid I was in conference last time you came.
Yes.
We analyzed that sample of oil which you left for us.
Yes.
Very interesting.
I imagined that you might think so.
Vegetable oil, of course.
But
with a far higher vitamin content than any of your fish oils.
Oh, yes, I agree. As a matter of fact, to be candid, we've never seen anything quite like it.
You will. It will be on the market in quantity in about 8 years from now.
Oh, yes.
Not if you can help it. Is that what you are thinking?
I wouldn't put it quite as crudely as that.
No, but I am a crude fellow, so I will say it for you.
Oh.
Also, I will tell you that you haven't got a hope of stopping it. The experimental station where this sample was produced is a long way off, both in geography and ideology.
Oh. What is your nationality, Mr. Phalangus?
South American and quite irrelevant. I am a citizen of the world and not without friends.
Hmm. I heard they were trying to fortify sunflower seed oil, but it isn't that.
No, not sunflowers.
Some kind of nut?
No, I understand it is an entirely new species. Here is a picture of it.
Good God.
Yes.
What an incredible thing. It is a plant.
Certainly.
It looks like a cross between a giraffe and a cairn terrier covered in leaves.
It is a cross between a great many things, some of them not nice. But in a few years' time, it will be producing a far better oil than yours at half your present price.
What are you offering? And how much do you want for it?
I'm offering a tray of fertilized seed 6 months from now. And I want £100,000.
Do you? Do you?
Hey, if you consider all the implications, you will find that I am being very reasonable.
I shall have to consult my fellow directors.
Oh, naturally, I would like an advance of £25,000.
That's rather high.
Not really. You see, I shall have to hire myself a jet aircraft, and it had better be a good one.
But it wasn't good enough. He landed by night on a flat Siberian waste. A man ran up to the plane with a box under his arm and got in. He took off at once and climbed steeply. But somewhere over the Pacific, they caught up with him and blew the plane to pieces. After the fragments had dropped away, there was nothing left but a trail of white vapor. Only it wasn't vapor. It was a cloud of seeds. They were so gossamer-like they even floated on that thin air until they drifted down into the winds of the world.
How much of that is speculation?
Not much. Besides, there's no other way to account for the fact that they suddenly appeared in half a dozen different parts of the world at once. We even had one in our back garden. I was 15 at the time.
Dad?
Yes?
Do you know there's a mystery behind the compost heap?
Go on, Billy. Pull the other one.
No, really. It's a peculiar plant.
Peculiar?
Do come and look. Between the berberis and the fence. There.
My word, yes, you're right. It's very odd indeed.
I can't find it in any of the books. Not flowers of the field or anything.
Yeah, looks a bit foreign.
There's a sort of thing like a fern shoot in that trumpet-shaped thing at the top of the stem. Look.
Yeah.
A lot of dead flies floating about inside.
Well, it's no beauty, whatever it is. We'll dig it up next time we have a bonfire.
Oh, no, Dad. Please not.
Well, what do you want to do with it?
Study it.
Oh, no.
You know, take its measurements and keep a record of its growth.
All right, then, but I wish you'd spend as much time on arithmetic as you do on nature study.
It's not nature study, it's biology.
Whatever you call it, it won't get you anywhere. Now, with mathematics, you can always be sure of a good job.
August the 9th. It is now 170 centimetres high, and the bowl is 150 centimetres in diameter. September the 12th. I believe it has grown a further 12 centimetres. The coil part in the centre of the calyx looks almost like a spring. I found a dead bird lying on the ground beside it today. October the 9th. I have applied for a job I saw in the paper. It is to be a trainee with the Arctic and European Oil Company Limited. I think it is whales and palm oil and groundnuts. It might be interesting. I don't expect I shall get it.
Oh, come in. Do sit down, Mr.
Mason. William Mason, sir. Thank you.
Yes. Well, my name's Luckner. I'm in charge of research. Well, tell me something about yourself.
What sort of thing, sir?
Well, what you like doing, why you want to join Arctic European. Just talk to me.
Well, sir, I'm interested in plants and animals. Things that live.
Yes.
I don't like figures much or sitting at a desk.
What experience have you?
Biology at school. It was my best subject.
Mm.
And I've done some research of my own.
On what?
Well, there's a plant in our garden that nobody knows about. And I've kept a sort of record of it.
What does it look like?
It has a circular bowl covered with leaves, which at present is 210.5 centimetres in circumference. From it springs a stem which is 82 centimetres in circumference and 120 centimetres in height from the bowl, the whole plant standing 210 centimetres from the ground.
Well, that's very thorough. Now tell me what it looks like.
Well, like a kind of shaggy leafy giraffe with no legs. And a leafy calyx with a head would be.
What?
I'm sorry, it's not a very good description.
Well, yes, it is. Has it got four small twigs growing straight up from the base of the stem?
Yes.
And inside the calyx, a coiled thing which might be a stamen?
Yes, that's it.
Indeed it is. Get him the chairman. How long has it been there?
Well, 6 months since I noticed it, but it was well established then.
Yeah. Well, Walter Luckner, sir. I have a young man sitting in front of me who's been growing a triffid in his back garden. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, of course. Right. Well, we're going up to see him.
A triffid? Is that what it's called?
Yes. Mm-hmm. In 2 years' time, it'll be the reason for this company's existence.
But what does it do?
Produces an oil that, well, wipes the floor with any of our present product. It's a hybrid of a half a dozen hybrids. Some were accidentally dispersed a year or two ago, and we've had reports that specimens have been found in the tropics.
Tropics?
Yes, I'm going out to Ecuador next week to bring some home. Yours is the first reported in a temperate country.
Why triffid?
Yours hasn't walked yet, I take it?
Walked?
No, obviously not. But when it's between 18 months and 2 years old, it will lift its three main roots from the ground and walk on them. Hence triffid.
But no plant walk.
Well, they do now. Oh, and by the way, you've got the job.
But I very nearly lost it. I went home hopping with excitement. The first thing I did was to go into the garden and take a look at the triffid. I bent down and examined the roots. For the first time, I noticed that there were indeed three of them. I began to scrape the earth away, with a vague idea that the thing might walk sooner. Then something cracked across my face like a whip. I woke up in bed, and a puzzled-looking doctor was standing over me. I was the first person in England to be stung by a triffid. I survived because it wasn't fully grown. By the time I'd recovered, Walter Luckner was back from Ecuador with a dozen mature specimens, and he'd already discovered that the sting which whipped out of the top of the stem would kill a man instantly. He'd also discovered that if you cut the sting off the triffid, it was harmless. I went down to Worthing with him, and we set up the first triffid nursery together. In the next 2 years, the things were so successful as oil producers that we reared more and more of them, until well.
Yes. But can't you give me something personal?
Hmm?
Well, I mean, Bill, you worked with them more than anyone.
Except Walter. He really understood triffids.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, one evening I remember sitting on a bank looking into a field of tethered triffids. Just about sunset.
What a row they're making.
Yes. They're talkative tonight.
I wonder if it's the weather. They seem to do it more when it's dry.
Do you talk more when it's dry?
Talk?
Yes, do you?
You don't really think that's what they're doing.
Why not?
Well, it's absurd, plants talking to each other.
You once said they couldn't walk.
Oh, yes, but that's a mechanical thing. I mean, if they talk, it would mean they had some intelligence.
Have you ever noticed
When they sting, they seem to go for the face or the hand.
Yes.
Especially for the eyes.
Well, it's probably accidental.
Possibly. But it could be because they want to reduce our advantage. Sight is our only advantage, you know.
Whatever, there's vegetables.
Yes. You just think, if you were blind and alone in a field with a triffid, what could you do? Well, for a start, you'd starve to death. The triffid wouldn't. It could exist on flies until it found you. And then it would only have to root itself beside your body and wait.
A nice thought.
Yes. And here's another one. In some parts of Africa, they've been known to surround villages at night and kill the inhabitants.
Yes, but look, we've never found anything like a brain. I mean, they're the same as any other plant when you dissect them.
All the same. If there was some catastrophe which made us weaker, it would automatically make them stronger. Especially now we've stopped docking them to improve their quality. Oh, let's go in.
But you don't really think there's anything to worry about, do you?
I don't know. Anyhow, it's no use worrying. While there's money in triffids, there'll be triffids. Oh, we'll tap that lot tomorrow. Put my mask and gloves on the peg, will you?
Oh, right you are.
There you go, another Erie House Radio drive-in with part one of the Day of the Triffids.
Blah. I wonder how you're going to get yourself out of that one.
Here's a curious tidbit of information. There are two known walking plants on the planet Earth. One's called a walking palm, and the other is ginseng root. And these plants actually do travel.
I don't know. I got some poison ivy that follows me around the yard.
Yeah, no, this is like, no, these are like, they move. And while they're alive, they keep moving. The walking palm, if it finds more sunshine in one place than the other, it lets its roots on the one end die, and it moves by creating new rootage, and it keeps moving. Ginseng actually walks. You can, if you plant it, you go back in a week, and it moves 10 inches. And you go back in another, and it's moving another, it keeps walking. It's a weird plant.
What about ants?
Ants?
Ent. E-N-T. Ents.
I don't know about ants. What are ants?
You got to read your Lord of the Rings, man.
Okay. Nope. That's lost. I don't have the reference.
Treebeard and, sorry. We're CW.
The big, huge, Well, go Lord of the Rings. A little bit outside of the realm of things that are actually, that actually do stuff here on the planet. So they did get a nod from these walking plants that we do have them here on the planet.
Yep. I can't wait to see ginseng walking down the street, man. That's going to be cool.
Yeah. No, if you plant some ginseng, it'll cruise around until you pluck it. It's weird.
Hope it's not like my collie and steal stuff. He's a clutch.
No. I've never met a ginseng that hoards.
Oh, okay. You know, you go to the kitchen, you go to get your favorite glass, and then all of a sudden you hear tea.
Yeah, ginseng got it, darn it. What's up with that ginseng?
I don't know.
I studied some information about Chinese medicine and Chinese diet, and part of that's ginseng, and you find out that these things move. I was like, what? Yeah, they do.
Could be years. That's why they're healthy.
If the soil's not good, the ginseng root will go find some that is. It's an amazing little plant.
You get healthy chasing it down to try to eat it.
It doesn't move that fast.
They're not fast, though, huh?
No. You can see movement, but it takes like a week.
Yeah. A walking plant would be like the mummy. Don't I have time to run from this thing?
The mummy.
Yeah. Now, the plants of the triffids, they actually end up being a tripod plant that walk on their roots, and then they re-root. But they cruise. I think you can outrun them.
I would
hope. If I recall the story. Yeah. You can outrun them, and you just have to watch out for their sting.
Yep.
And it's a weird thing they're talking about. They don't have a brain. Well, plants act and react to a lot of different stimuli. So they're not human. They're plants. So maybe there's something different going on. There was a study a long time ago about someone that was cooking, steaming a crab next to a plant, and they were studying the plant for whatever reason. They dropped the live crab into the boiling water, and the plant went, woo-hoo-hoo. And then they clipped a bit of the plant off of itself, and they put it in the water and went, woo-hoo-hoo, again. It was not the woo-hoo plant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, so you know, there's something
like
going on.
That story sounds like a plant.
I'll give it to you, Dave. There you go. Part of it's true. It's not called the woo-woo plant, I can guarantee. Blah, blah.
Alrighty.
Anyway.
Well, so let's find out.
Great story so far.
Yep. Good story, and a little bit different than what I recall from the film. But let's get on with
again, this may be a little closer to the real thing since it is a longer production than the movie was. Yeah.
Could be. Let's find out what happens in part two. Roll the film, Julio.
I've often wondered what happened to him. He'd have been useful to us now. It was a year afterwards that he saved my eyesight and my life. We were examining some specimens when one of them smacked out of me with its sting and a few drops of poison came through the meshes of the mask, went into my eyes. He got me back to the laboratory at once, gave me the antidote, but I had to go into hospital for a week or two. They sent me to St. Merrin's, right in the middle of London. Well, I'd been there 10 days with my eyes covered with bandages when it happened. All day long, reports had been coming in over the radio telling of a fantastic display of green lights and flashes in the upper atmosphere. By evening, everyone who could get to a window or climb on a roof was apparently gazing up in expectation of a free firework display. I began to feel that a gigantic party was being given, to which only I had not been invited.
Do shut the window, nurse.
Really, it is. This is a comet, you know. Green and white flashes all over the sky.
And bright red buses clashing their gears all down the street, I know. Surely you can see just as well with it shut.
Aren't we just in a bad mood tonight? Of course, it is a shame, really, you having your eyes still bandaged.
Yeah.
Still, it's not for long now.
What time tomorrow will they take them off, eh?
Well, since it's at 11:30, but Mr. Palmer may be a bit late. Ooh!
Now what?
That was a bright one. Lit up the whole room. You can see everyone standing on the rooftops watching. Oh, there's another. Oh, it's quite dazzling. Oh, what a pity you couldn't see it.
Yes, isn't it? Now, do go away. There's a good girl.
Have you everything you want?
Yes, I think so. Oh, is the radio where it should be? Yes.
Then I'll leave you for now. I'll look in later and see you settle down. Good night.
Good night.
Oh, and there's another tremendous flash right across the whole sky. Well, I expect you can hear the crowd. They're rather like children at a firework display. From where I'm standing, on the top of Primrose Hill, I can see hundreds of faces all turned upwards to watch this astonishing spectacle, which began over the Pacific 12 hours ago, and by now must have been seen by 90% of the world's population. It is believed that the Earth is passing through a belt of meteoric debris caused by the passing of a comet. And I really do urge anyone who possibly can to watch it. Some of these brighter flashes really make you blink. Oh, there's a splendid one right across the sky.
Oh, shut up. Let me get some sleep.
Seven,
6.
7.
8. 8? The damn disorganized hospital is the bell. Oh, come and annihilate me. Where the hell are they? Nurse? Sister? Why are they leaving me like this? Supposing there was a fire. What? Supposing there is a fire. Well, that's it. They've left me. Help! 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 Hello? Who's that? Someone there?
Whose room is this?
Aren't you the house surgeon?
Yes, Mr. Mason.
Oh, can't you see?
No.
What?
I'm blind. I woke up blind. I've been trying to find someone to help me.
Oh. Well, I'm afraid I'm in the same state. Unless you care to help me off with these bandages.
Where are you?
Here. Here, this way. That's the bottom of the bed. Now, work your way up. Look, take my hand. We must look a comic couple.
I'm not laughing.
No. I won't be if the treatment hasn't worked. There's a pin at the back that I can't quite manage.
That?
Yes, that's it. Thanks. Oh, God, it's like unwinding a maypole.
You'd better do it yourself. Are the curtains drawn?
I suppose so. Nobody's come in to undraw them. The whole staff must have a hangover after last night's party. Oh, I can see. I can see.
Clearly.
Perfectly. Oh, the curtains are green. I always thought they were blue. I don't know why. Oh, it's lucky my clothes are here. Just a moment. Oh, you don't know what it's like being able to see again.
I can imagine.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry. Just a minute. There. Now, how can I help you?
Take me along the passage to Lister Ward. There's a telephone in the sister's room.
Yes, of course. Come on. Now, this way. I'll take your arm. All right?
Yes.
The place sounds like a madhouse.
There must be someone on duty somewhere.
Is the ward at the end of the passage?
Can't you see the swing doors?
Oh, yes.
The sister's room's on the right before you get in.
All right. This looks like the room.
Is there a telephone?
Yes, on the table. Here you are.
Dead. Thought it would be.
What's happened? What is it?
Everyone in the place is blind. Finished.
Well, there must be something we can do.
Yes. This is the fifth floor, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Where's the window?
You're facing it.
Thank you.
What? No! No, for God's sake, don't! Oh, no, no.
I'm coming.
Oh, thank God. I'm blind. Help me. I'm blind. Where are you? Where are you?
Look out the stairs.
Who's that?
Don't move if you're on the stairs and can't see.
Took the bandages off. I can see. Are you hurt?
Bruised a bit, that's all. I was washing the diabetic in number 7 and suddenly I couldn't see. And he couldn't either. And then I went for help and there was no help.
All right, all right, don't worry. Come on, let's get out of this place. Which is the best way?
Straight down these stairs and through the main hall. What about the man who fell?
Oh, he's dead. Hold on. Now. Step, 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 step. There's a landing. Turn right.
That's it. Wait. What's that?
The children's ward. Oh, we must go to them.
Nothing we can do at the moment. Come on, step. 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 That's it. Step down. Right. Step. Step. I'll stop now. Here's the main door. Forward.
No. I'd rather stay here. I don't want to go out.
This place is a nightmare.
What place isn't like this? Besides, I know my way around here. Blindfold.
There'll be no food, nothing.
I feel safer here. Besides, there are the children.
Look, what can you do for them?
Make them a little less frightened. I am a nurse, after all.
You want me to stay?
No. You must go out and do what you can. Goodbye.
The door of the hospital swung to behind me, and I stepped into the empty street. There seemed no reason to go in any particular direction, but after a moment's pause, I set off towards the West End. A fruit lorry had run across the pavement, spilling its load of oranges in the gutter. I needed a drink and crossed the road to a pub called the Alamein Arms. The door was open, and a lugubrious song came from the interior.
Alcohol.
Hi.
Who's that?
You open?
Of course I'm open.
Oh. I need a drink.
Who are you anyway?
From the hospital.
Oh. Can you see?
Yes.
Hmm. Is this whiskey I've got here?
No, peppermint. This one's whiskey.
Thanks. Help yourself.
I'll have brandy.
Anything you like, anything you want.
You'll get drunk if you take it like that.
I am drunk. And I've got to get drunker. I am blind. Blind. As a bat, everyone's blind as a bat. Except you. Did you see green shooting stars?
No, I didn't.
There you are, then. You didn't see them, you aren't blind. Everyone else saw them, and they're all blind as bats.
Are you sure it's everyone?
Listen. Can't hear yourself talk here most days.
Are you the landlord?
What if I am?
I want to pay.
Oh, forget it. Money's no use for a dead man. That's what I am after a few more drinks.
You look all right to me.
What's the good of living blind as a bat? That's what my wife said, and she was right. Only she's more guts than I have. When she found out the kids were blind, she took them into her bed and turned on the gas. And I hadn't the guts to stick with them. About time I'll have soon. I'm going back up there soon when I'm drunk enough.
No, don't.
Why not? Give me one reason. Why not? You can't.
It's wrong.
No, nothing's wrong. Nothing's left to be wrong. And if you can't see that, you're blinder than me, even if you haven't got two eyes. Have no up to join them. I'm drunk enough. Drunk enough to do it.
I didn't stop him or try to follow him. I just watched him go. Then I knocked back the last of my brandy and went out into the silent street.
That was the first episode of Giles Cooper's dramatization of The Day of the Triffids by John Wyndham. Listen to the next episode of John Powell's production of The Day of the Triffids, A Light in the Night.
Darn those triffids. Do you have to get a litter box for triffids, or how do you...
I mean, you think you need fly paper to keep them in one place.
Fly paper. It's awesome. They'll stick it to those triffids.
Yep.
Yeah,
this,
you could, you could call this a very early dystopian story.
Yes, like I said, like the zombies, it's civilization having to recreate itself. They have no water. They have no electricity. They,
they had no baked goods. How terrible was that?
And just think of the ice cream shortages. Oh.
Oh, well, I couldn't live in that time.
I would open the first Braille bakery right away.
Braille bakery. Braille bakery.
You touch it, you bought it. That's the slogan.
Oh. But.
It only shows they should have been watching television instead of looking out their window.
Well, just think what an advantage.
Have any of you guys, been... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, think of the advantage non-sighted people would have in a situation like that.
Yeah. In a land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Have any of you guys ever been physically incapacitated for a period of time?
Physically incapacitated to like
physically,
what degree?
Physically or visually?
I sprained and compacted my spine as a kid, and I was down for like 3 months. Wow. I don't know. I can't remember the injury, but I was in a wheelchair for over 6 months. You have to really sit there and go, well, you know, I was very fortunate to be able to, at one point in time, get strong enough to get out of that wheelchair, get out of that bed, and take the next steps. And unfortunately, there are some people that cannot.
Yeah. No, I've never been incapacitated to that degree. I think the most I've ever been incapacitated is at crutches for, like, a few months.
Yeah.
And I took that as a challenge, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's to learn to do tricks on them. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. It really upset the parents, which is the whole point.
Well, yeah, you get some crutches and you get some roller skates and you go to town.
Mm-hmm. upsetting parents is what I was good at.
Yeah. The most visually impaired I've ever been, and you guys have probably gotten this too, is when they dilate your eyes.
I've hit it done.
And then what do you have to do? Okay, they give you these sunglasses, but you have to drive yourself along, and your eyes are you barely see. It's really not good. Maybe the point on that is to take someone with you when you get your eyes dilated. But I've always gone alone, you know, and I'm driving with one eye as wide open as I can, trying to go. Is that a car? What is that?
Oh God. Wonderful.
Yeah. Oh man.
I don't know. Just don't watch the meteor showers so closely anymore.
Yeah. There's a hilarious. I think it's German. Dave has seen it. A commercial I run on Horrible Horror, where this lady is cutting red peppers in the kitchen, and a little girl comes into the kitchen and she's crying.
Oh,
and the
mother
goes, "Oh, what's wrong?" And she puts her hands on the kid's face, and the kid goes, "Oh." And then starts screaming because now it has red pepper in its eyes. And then the young son comes in and he's like, "What's wrong?" And the mother touched her face, so she's blind. The kid comes in and then she blinds him. And then they show the woman with very red eyes trying to drive with one eye to the hospital. It's all about comedy.
Yep.
It's all about comedy. And red peppers.
Oh, that was funny. Absolutely.
Yeah. My director didn't like it, and I was like, it's kind of like that news report about the woman with the 80-pound tumor, first time she could cross her legs. Some people got upset about that, and I was like, what? It was funny.
It's one of those things, I guess. I don't know. I just know that I'm going to have Triffid problems for a while.
Yes. Yeah, seriously. Yeah, beware of plants, man. I've never run across a plant that will whip out and nail you in the head and try to kill you, but I'm sure they're out there.
Well, there's that one species, Cleopatris adamus.
I don't know that one. Do tell.
Cleopatris adamus.
And what's its speciality?
Amber.
Amber?
Cleopatris was Morticia adamus's plant.
Okay, sorry.
I'm
you're talking
too
about
subtle today. I'm being way too subtle.
I thought you were talking about Mark Anthony and Cleopatra, and I went, what? And then a plant named after what? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Cleopatra was the name of the plant.
Right.
And it ate hamburger.
In a lot of horror movies, the Venus flytrap is monsterized so much. I mean,
sure,
that's just like a favorite.
Audrey was kind of part.
Something like that, yeah.
But it ain't the clothes at all, you know?
Yeah.
And it also came from outer space.
And it sang. In one
and
rendition.
It sang.
In one rendition.
It did.
It did.
and it had quite a boogie beat, didn't it?
It did.
Good Motown sound.
Okay. Was it Jack Nicholson or Steve Martin that played a demented dentist in that film?
Yes. In the film, it was Jack Nicholson.
Okay,
but
and then the remake?
In the musical, it was Steve Martin, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he was like a pain freak.
And other,
he was reading Pain Magazine, I think.
Yeah.
In a waiting room.
Yeah, and Nicholson was, one of them was smiling. Was Nicholson the dentist or the patient?
Patient.
The patient, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he liked pain.
He was freaking Sydney out. In the waiting room.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to have my costumes pulled. He was trying to sound almost like Peter Lorre in a way.
Almost.
Very,
yeah.
very young Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. Yep. Right after he did those, what were those films? He made some horror movie films when he was in his 20s. They're really bad.
Oh, Corman?
Yeah, Corman. Yeah. Corman films. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Corman.
Yeah, that
Corman
was a Corman
that
film,
one.
Too.
That's a
Corman. That was a
Corman made
too.
That too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. My ducks are not in a row, and I haven't seen them in weeks. Okay, and I'm sticking to that story.
All right. Here you go.
That sounds quacker.
Yeah.
It does.
We might as well get to part 3 of Day of the Triffids.
We were up to part 8. No? Okay, part 3, sure.
Part 3. Part 8 is tomorrow.
Hmm.
Part 3, which is really part 2 of Day of the Triffids.
Part 1 of part 2, yeah, yeah.
Yep. Part 1 of part 2. Parts is part.
From London, we present The Day of the Triffids. John Wyndham's famous science fiction story, dramatized by Giles Cooper.
And there's another tremendous flash. I expect you can hear the crowd. It's believed that the Earth is passing through the debris of a comet. And there's another. So brilliant, it almost hurts. I do urge anyone who possibly can to go out and watch.
The Day of the Triffids, Episode 2, A Light in the Night.
It took me quite a time to realize that London was a city of the blind, the capital of a blind country in a blind world. But by the time I'd walked from the pub near the hospital to Piccadilly, I knew that it was so. In no direction was there any traffic, nor any sound of it. The only signs of life were a few people here and there cautiously groping their ways along the shop front.
Someone's there. I can hear you. All right, don't answer. Just stay where you are and don't bump into me. I've had enough of that this morning.
I'm sorry. You're blind.
Of course I'm blind. You think I carry this white stick for fun?
Then you don't know what's happened.
I know everyone's damn clumsy this morning. And no hall porter on duty.
Yes. Oh, they're all blind, too.
Yeah, what? They're blind?
Yes, since they watched the comet last night. It was pure chance that I didn't.
Now they'll know what it's been like for me. Now they'll need their damn patronage for themselves. You might see me across the road.
Yes, of course.
One gets lost away from the curb.
Come on. That's it.
What's that?
Well, it sounds as though some of them have broken into a pub around the corner. Here's the curb.
Oh, thank you very much. Good luck to you. Good day.
But don't you forget it. Where I
no,
go, you go.
Please
stop it.
No,
let her
no,
go.
Don't get away from
no,
me.
No.
All right. Come on, get up.
I fight to him.
Just a minute. Right, cut the cord. Up you get.
Now let's get away from the crowd. There's an empty pub over there.
You can see.
I certainly can.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God.
It's all right.
I thought I was the only one.
No. Come on. Come on.
You can see.
Feeling better?
Yes. Yes, thank you. I must look an awful sight. Where's the mirror?
Oh, good Lord, yes, I do.
Have another drink.
Eh? I'm sorry. I haven't told you anything about myself. Thanks. I'm Gisela Platon.
And my name's Bill Mason. Gisela Platon? Haven't I heard of you?
Oh, I shouldn't think so. How did you escape seeing the comet?
I was in hospital with my eyes bandaged.
What about you?
Oh, well, I went to a party on... What's today? Wednesday?
Right.
On Monday, yes. I don't know what was in the drinks, but I felt like death yesterday. Mm. Well, about 4 o'clock, I gave up. I took a couple of sleeping pills and went to bed. If the sky had fallen in, I wouldn't have noticed. But when I did wake up, My father was standing beside my bed. He'd gone blind.
Where do you live?
Dean Road, St. John's Wood. Well, the telephone wouldn't work, so I started to drive down this way to fetch our doctor, and I ran out of petrol right in the middle of Regent Street. Then that man found out I could see. He knocked me down and tied my hands and made me lead him about.
From bar to bar, I imagine.
Yes. Yeah. I should have been able to get away from him, but he was too clever. Desperate, I suppose. I was sorry for him in a way.
Oh, yes, one's sorry for them all. But they'll kill us if they can. We're rich and they're poor. Why did he start beating you?
Because I wouldn't go into his house with him. Well, thank heavens you came along.
Yeah. Well, what do we do now?
I must get back to my father. There's no point in trying to find the doctor, even if he's been one of the lucky ones.
Do you mind if I come too?
Oh, I never asked you any. I thought perhaps you had or someone you wanted to look for.
No, there's no one.
And I'd be very glad. It's so awful to...
I know. I think it'd be safer if we stayed together anyhow. Drink up.
There.
Shall we go?
Yes. Oh, Where can I get petrol?
No need. There are plenty of other cars.
Oh, it's strange. Being able to take anything we want, it's like a dream.
More like a nightmare. Come on.
Turn left here. It will lead us round into Dean Road.
What on earth is that?
The zoo. Well, we can hear the animals at night.
They must be hungry. Past feeding time.
Oh, the stars. Poor things being locked up like that.
Just as well for us they are.
Are they blind, do you think?
I know. Some, perhaps. Not the cats, though. They'd have avoided the light.
Oh, look. Over there in the park. Triffids.
Yep, there's an enclosure of them by the zoo.
Well, should they be loose like that?
No. But if you don't keep an eye on them, they tend to root themselves in a cluster against the fencing. Eventually, it falls down.
Mm, horrid thing.
Yes, but if it wasn't for a triffid sting, I wouldn't be here now.
Oh, here we are, on the left.
Oh, good. Father?
Yes. Lying on the floor and that thing standing over him. What can we do?
Nothing.
He's dead?
Wait, I'll look.
Oh, careful.
I saw the mark on his face.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
Just oh, no, look. No.
It's a very quick death.
Oh, no.
Look out! Coming through the bushes. Run for the car! Oh. Wind up the window.
Drive on before it gets to us.
No, wait. It can't hurt us now. I want to see what it does.
Oh, it's going away.
There's another one standing in the laurels.
Let's get away. Well, there's nothing we can do.
Right, come on.
Yeah. Where can we go?
For a start, we make for a factory in Clerkenwell. The best triffid guns in the world.
Oh, I didn't know there were such things.
Huh?
Fine, here's the export stock all ready for packing. Now, one for you, one for me, one for spare.
Oh, there's heavy.
They use them a good bit in the tropics. It'll cut the stem off a triffid at 25 yards. Now, we'll have 2 months.
Can we get it all in the
car? Well, I saw a station wagon outside. We'll take that and go back up west. Clothes first, then somewhere to sleep before it gets dark. A flat, I should think. Or two flats, if you prefer.
Oh, one. I'd rather not be on my own.
Good. I'd feel like company, too.
Try this block.
It looks a bit grand.
And nothing to pay.
Can we really walk into someone's flat and take it over?
Why not? People who won't do that sort of thing are going to have a pretty thin time. Mm. Come on.
Let's try the top floor.
It's a long way to carry the cases.
Well, there's bound to be a lift.
And no power.
Oh, no. Well, all the same, I prefer to be high up, away from the street.
All right, let's make for the penthouse.
Oh, what about the triffid gun?
Oh, they're okay. Nobody's going to steal them.
What's in here?
A paraffin cooker. We're going to need it.
Oh.
Come on, up we go.
That's part one of part two of Day of the Triffids. They're trying to figure out how they can fight them off, or at least find refuge from these crazed bands of rampant plants.
They're also working on infrastructure. They need to find food and water and stuff. So they're
definitely
on the ball with doing something. Yeah.
Yep. And highways, yeah. Got to keep ahead of them Triffids. Keep, you know, find these cars. Keep ahead of the Triffids.
Yes. I think in a realistic look, the Triffids would kind of avoid an interstate because there's nothing, there's no soil to root on.
That's true. Hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. Unlike the Walking Dead, where they're everywhere.
Yeah. True. No, that's true, though. You can avoid them by getting on big parking lots, although given time, they'll bust their way through just like weeds do. Plants are powerful.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh,
like, there's an old part of near our neighborhood, and you can just see how back in the days when they had big slabs of like slate for the, or not slate, but limestone or something for the sidewalks, and these tree roots just heave them out of the ground over time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're not fast, but they're strong.
Not at a local parking lot, and this was first established probably about 40, 50 years ago, is they have a parking lot and a mall, and they left some of the trees there, you know, for decor. But what they didn't understand was those trees, the roots just tore up the entire, you know, it's all uneven, and you break your neck when I'm trying to walk on the parking lot.
Yeah.
I almost had a suit against Home Depot for, I took a digger, because he had uneven pavement. Almost. I didn't pursue it, but I could have. I broke a hip.
Broke a hip? Wow.
I could have broke a hip. I didn't break it. I told him I might have broke a hip.
Because I always thought you were a really hip guy, so, you know. If they break that, you're done. You're done.
That's it. I'm over. Put a fork in me. And call me Rice-A-Roni. That's right, yeah.
I would do that just for fun. But, you know, put a fork in you.
Put a fork in me, yeah.
To see if
you're drawing it out. We use spoons, yeah.
We use like the Tick. His call were, spoon! I love that guy, the Tick. How many superheroes have a call name? Spoon! All right, there you go.
I don't know. I like the cartoon. The cartoon was good.
Oh, the cartoon was funny? And the 1980s, I think it was the 80s or 90s, short-lived series, was absolutely hilarious. And then they tried it again, and it kind of missed
it. It was 90s, because it was around the time of the Animaniacs.
They had Deflator Mouse on there. As Batman, they had Deflator Mouse, and he was Spanish or Latino. I am Deflator Mouse. Yeah, it was hilarious. And Liberty Lass or whatever. Oh my gosh! Wow. I remember her. She had a torch. I don't know. Did she shoot Ray out of the torch? I forget. I don't remember. It was funny. That was just so. That was absolutely hilarious. And the cartoon was even better. But I don't think that the Tick ever took down a Triffid.
He might have. No.
Best way to find out is get into part four, which is part two of part two.
And that's a segue.
Of Day of the Triffids. Best you're going to get out of me.
All right.
Oh, it's just time. And since the first time this goes, we reached on foot. Oh, too flat. Which do you prefer, madam?
Oh, well, the one facing south, of course.
As madam wishes. Just a moment.
Oh, what's wrong?
It's not well furnished.
Let's try the other.
No. What was it?
Here we are.
Was someone in there? Was someone in there?
Two people dead. Suicide. Oh. There's a lot of it about. Oh, come on.
No. No, we can't sleep here. Not with them across the passage and you making a joke.
Oh, come back. Here. I'm not joking. Come here. Look, if we're going to keep our sanity, we've got to learn to be tough. There's nothing we can do about it. Nothing at all. You understand?
Yes. Yes, I do.
That's all right. Now, come on, let's see what this place has to offer. Good Lord.
Oh, it's got everything. Plus a cocktail bar. Oh, is it a bedroom? Look, it's got a round bed.
With a mirror over it.
Well, I'm going to sleep here anyway.
I'll ask you if I can find something a bit more sober.
There's a mirror over the bath as well.
Is there? Anyway, we can't have baths, no hot water.
Don't sound the breeze. Are you going to change?
Only my shirt.
Lucky it's summer.
What?
Lucky it's summer. Well, cold weather wouldn't have helped.
Some ways it would.
How?
Most of the fresh food will be going bad tomorrow. This fridge is like an oven.
You in the kitchen?
Yeah.
What's it like?
Housewife dream. I'm setting up the oil cooker.
Well, you said it would be more like a nightmare.
Can you cook?
Not very well.
Yeah.
There are a lot of perfumes in here I've never even heard of. Bill? Bill?
Yeah?
Oh, sorry, I thought perhaps you'd gone out. You didn't answer. What are you doing?
Preparing a simple meal.
I ought to do that.
No, I'm enjoying myself. Shall we sit at a table?
Yes. Let's do things properly.
That's how I feel.
What are we having?
Avocados, scampi, cold chicken and salad, asparagus, peaches, and coffee.
What? No caviar?
It's in a pot, it'll keep. Will a white burgundy suit you, madam, or would you prefer champagne?
Oh, champagne.
What are you doing, anyway?
You'll see.
What?
Well, how do I look?
You look beautiful.
Thank you.
Where'd you get the dress?
I found it in there, and I tied it, and it fits.
It certainly does. The emeralds suit you.
Do they? I know it seems a funny time to dress up, but I feel that perhaps...
My father told me that just before 1939, when everyone knew there was going to be a war, he used to go around London looking at everything as though it was for the last time. Now it really is.
Thank you for understanding. Thank you for everything. If you hadn't helped me, I don't know where I'd be now.
I know where I'd be if I hadn't met you. Lying drunk in some bar. What about a drink? There's some sherry.
Oh, I thought you said champagne. Oh,
of course, of course.
Goodness, I'm hungry.
Am I? Let's eat. Like that.
Thank you. Oh, it's getting dark.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, candlelight as well. That's nice.
Now, tell me about it.
Mm-hmm. Tell you about what?
Everything. Childhood memories, love affairs. Why, you aren't married, or are you?
No, I'm not. Are you?
Uh-uh.
Well, I nearly was, when I was 19.
Yeah?
There was an awful row.
What, with your family?
With my father. Mother was dead. I ran away from home and went to stay with a girlfriend. My father stopped my allowance, so I had to do something, and I wrote the book.
You did what?
Oh, that's what they all say. I must look very dumb. I wrote the book.
What book?
Sex is My Adventure.
Oh, of course, Josella Clayton. Did you really write that thing?
Yes, I really did. You read it?
No.
It was very mild, a bit silly. Well, just the title was shocking, but it sold.
I bet.
And the film rights. I made a lot of money. Then I went home again.
Having shown your independence.
Yes, but more to get away from the people who thought I meant the whole thing, literally.
Which you did not?
Which I did not.
Still, you can hardly blame people.
No. That's why I was writing another book to balance things up.
Oh? With an equally alarming title?
I was calling it Here the Forsaken.
Quotation?
Stongreave. Here the Forsaken Virgin Rests from Love.
Oh, I see. More champagne.
Brandy, port, or a liqueur?
Brandy, please. Shall we wash up?
Oh, Lord, not likely. We're not staying, you know.
Huh?
Well, we'll have to leave tomorrow.
Oh, yes, but don't let's think about it yet. I know. Hmm? Let's have some music. Is that a record player?
Yes, but there's no power.
Oh, no. Quickly.
There's a transistor radio in the kitchen.
Well, let's try that.
All right. I don't know what you expect to hear. It won't be late night music, though.
Well, you never know.
There we are.
Oh, careful. Don't knock my brandy over. It's much too good to waste.
There you are. Nothing. Nothing at all.
Bill.
Hey, listen, listen. Must be an SOS.
Well, where do you think he is?
I don't know. Some ship drifting off the coast with all the crew blind. My God, think what it must be like at sea.
And in prison.
Well, aircraft.
But, well their troubles are over.
Not like ours. Which brings us back to where we started.
Okay. I'm right down out of the clouds now. What are we going to do?
Get out of London for a start, and keep away from towns as much as we can.
Supplies will be difficult in the country.
Yes. But you see what's going to happen here, don't you? At present, there's still water in the tanks. Soon there won't be. The whole city will begin to stink like a great sewer. There are bodies lying about already. Every day there'll be more.
No, don't.
Soon there'll be diseases beginning to spread. Cholera, typhus, Lord knows what. No, we've got to get away before that starts. Have you any ideas?
Well, somewhere out of the way, with a good water supply and as high up as we can get. So there'll be a nice, clean wind.
Yeah, that's a thought. What about the Lake District?
Too far.
Maybe. Same goes for Cornwall.
What about the South Downs? Some friends of mine have a house on the north side looking across to Pulborough.
Uh-huh.
It's fairly high and there's a wind pump for water. And they make their own electricity.
That sounds promising.
How long will it be before the towns are safe again?
Oh, I don't know. Perhaps a year or so. That ought to be long enough.
Well, then we're going to need a lot of supplies.
Yes, well, that's the first thing to do. Tomorrow, we load up a lorry with stores. Two lorries, if you can manage one.
Me? Oh, well, I can try. What do we put in them?
We'll make a list. We'll try to get a couple of 10-tonners. Load half of each with food.
And the other half?
Clothes first. We've got to get some... we'll need winter things.
Blankets.
A tent.
A tent?
Well, we may need it.
Oh, frying pans.
Saucepans.
Kettles.
About three of everything.
Paraffins.
Plenty in the garages.
Matches.
Thousands of them. We don't want to have to rub sticks together before we need.
You know, we're going to have to learn a lot.
Yeah, we've learned a lot already.
Such as?
How to accept the fact that sooner or later we may be the only survivors.
There must be others like us somewhere.
Well, I met nobody in London. Except a child. He was too young to stay up and watch the comet, if that's what it was.
Well, what else could it have been?
Well, all the great powers have had satellites orbiting for the last few years. They aren't all for research, you know. Some of them are weapons, ready to be used when needed. Supposing one of them went wrong,
collided with a meteorite, perhaps. And instead of doing what it was supposed to do and bursting low down over just one country, it burst up in its orbit. Affected the whole world.
A weapon that would make people blind?
Yeah.
But who would think of a thing like
any nation on Earth that was rich enough and frightened enough. And that means all of us.
You know, if all this is true, we brought it on ourselves.
Yep. And here we are. Let's get on with the list.
No. No, let's leave it till the morning. I'm very tired.
All right. We've all the time in the world, in one sense.
Bill, it was a nice dinner. Thank you. Well, good night.
Just a moment. I just want to look at you.
Good night, Bill.
Good night. We'll survive.
There's so many of them, and there's only two of us.
Hey, look.
No. No, I don't want to look out there.
You must just, Ella. There's a light.
Houses on fire. I've seen them. Don't make me look again.
No, this is different. It's a searchlight.
A what?
Look, over there, to the north.
Where? Oh, yes. Yes, I see.
It must be a signal.
What does it mean?
Perhaps that someone's trying to get all the sighted people together.
Oh, quickly, let's go there.
No, not yet. Wait till morning.
But we won't be able to see it in daylight, Bill. We must go now.
Look, do you really want to drive through those streets now?
No, but what if we miss them?
They won't go away tonight. Oh, look. Wait. We'll make a mark on the window ledge. No, where's something? Yeah, a nail file. It'll do. Now, look, I'll scratch your point. So. Now, we'll be able to pick out the building in the morning. You can see it's a tall one from the position of the light.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, yes. Sorry, I panicked again.
Of course. You'd be inhuman not to. Well, now at least we know we're not alone.
We never were, Bill. Were we?
That was the second episode of Giles Cooper's dramatization of The Day of the Triffids by John Wyndham. Listen to the next episode of John Powell's production of The Day of the Triffids, Conference and Confusion.
That's right. Welcome to the eerie. Treehouse Drive-In, Fogs Bane, good old Bob, Duck, Northwest Media, all in our chat live with us and listening as well. We got others out there. Hello, hello, hello. With this...
Hello.
Presentation from BBC Radio, BBC Radio.
Oh, this next episode is Conference and Confusion. Is this about our U.S. Congress? Is this what this is about?
It could be.
Yeah, that's the greatest thing about all these dystopian things. One thing we get rid of is Congress.
It's my favorite part of Mars Attacks. When the ladies...
They can't vote themselves a raise. They can't keep their job. They're out of here. See ya. Wouldn't wanna be ya.
Yep. Favorite line from Mars Attacks when the older lady is watching on TV and them Martians shoot up Congress and she laughs. They shot up Congress.
They shot up Congress. Hi, China.
Too funny.
Congress in and of itself is dystopian. Agree? Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it makes sense.
Yep.
Of con is pro. So the opposite of progress.
Is Congress.
Regress?
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
There you go. With the grass. Congress. I don't know.
Yes.
Mystery.
The mystery.
So we've moved into, there's a romance building. Of course, that's going to happen. And then in later
Nothing
segments, we're going
to
see they're going to try. Not, hey, that's right. Hey, you know, we got a lot of time on our hands right now. There's no Congress. Hey, what are we going to do?
There you go. Time to repopulate. You know. I'm in.
Yeah, really. And that's what they're going to have to. Okay, the direction is not only repopulate, but repopulated with sighted people.
Yes.
So they're going to be weeding out people. In the event that this blindness went into the DNA of these people and it's going to carry over, they're going to go, well.
I was wondering that about that myself, if people born into the New World would be sighted or not.
Well, people being born into the society today aren't born with cell phones, but they who knows what's going to happen with them. Right?
Oh, be fun to watch, but I won't be here.
Yeah, well, we'll be here. We're going to be on the sidelines. We're going to be like five times removed going, man, look at that. They're going down in flames. Let's watch.
Yep.
That's really. Woo-hoo! That's right.
Sell tickets.
I'm telling you. Sell tickets and buy stock. Those are two things to do. One thing the younger folks aren't doing.
Yeah, we're not Nero fiddling at the end of the world. We're selling tickets.
That's right. That's right. It's one thing to be a bystander. It's another to make money while you're doing it.
There you go.
There you go. You know?
When the opportunity knocks, you got to do your
knock
thing.
Knock back. That's right.
We got enough time for two more segments from Day of the Triffids. Here we go with part one of part three.
That's dystopia.
From London, we present The Day of the Triffids, John Wyndham's famous science fiction story, dramatized by Giles Cooper. The Day of the Triffids, Episode 3, Conference and Confusion.
I lay awake for a long time on that first night after the disaster, listening to the nightmare confusion and shouts of the blind in the street below.
and wondering if the searchlight we'd seen far away on a tall building was really a signal to get the sighted people together. When I did go to sleep, I slept heavily and late. I woke up to find the sun shining. Josella was making coffee.
Hello, Bill. Ready for breakfast?
I'll shave first. I feel a bit scruffy.
Oh, shall I heat some water?
Oh, it's all right. I'll manage with cold. What about the light we saw?
Well, I looked before you woke up.
Yeah?
The scratch you made on the window ledge points towards the university tower.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
We'd better go straight there as soon as we've eaten.
Quite different from yesterday.
Yeah, fewer people about.
Then they were clinging to the house front. Now they're creeping along the gutters.
I suppose it's easier going by the curb. This is the turning we want.
Just a minute. I think there's something happening at the gate.
Quite a crowd. Shall we investigate or clear out?
Investigate.
All right, but don't let's get involved.
Well, if we go through those houses and into one of the gardens, we could get quite close to the gates without being seen.
No. If there's anyone there who can see. Come on.
Just shut yourself up in there. Who do you think you are? You needn't think I can't see you, that I'm one of these helpless wretches. I can see you all right.
What's happening?
There's a sort of agitator trying to get in.
Do you think these people haven't got the same right to live as you? They have, you know. It's not their fault they're blind, is it? It's nobody's fault. But it's going to be your fault if they starve, and you know it. I've been showing the way to get food, but there's only one of me, and there's thousands of them. You could show them, but you won't. All you're thinking of is looking after your own lousy skin.
And how long do you think the supplies will last?
How the blazes will I know? What I do know is that if all the people who still cut their eyes don't muck in and help, there aren't going to be many left alive by the time they kind of clear this mess up.
Nobody's going to come.
Oh, that's it, is it? You're scared. Frightened that if you give them food, there won't be enough for you. I love the people, aren't they? Well, if you won't come out to us, we'll come into you.
Let go.
There's his arm. Now, hold him while I get the cake open.
Let me go.
You've not sorted out.
Johnson!
Yeah.
Edward! Get him clear!
No! No, don't shoot!
Get down!
Get down, everyone! Get down!
Johnson's shooting at them!
No, they're firing over their heads.
Sure.
Yes. No one's hurt.
Even to frighten them like that.
Well, they have to do something.
That man, the one who spoke, was right.
He was wrong. There's no way to come and clear up this mess. It won't be cleared up except by us. We just can't afford to spend our time pillaging food stocks for other people.
But it seems so callow.
Oh, yes, I don't like it any more than you do, but we've got to make up our minds. Do we help those who survived the catastrophe to rebuild some sort of life? Or do we make a moral gesture?
No. We must go on.
Come on, let's cross the road.
Are the men with guns still there?
Yes. Can you manage?
No. Give me a hand.
Come on. There. Can we come in?
How many of you?
Just the two. We saw your signal last night.
Okay, come on.
We saw what happened just now.
Thanks for the orders. Not to let them in. Well, you'd better report to the colonel. Just inside on the right, door marked reception.
Highly organized.
And a bit frightening.
Yeah. Here we are. Ah, new arrivals. March straight in. Glad to have you with us. I'll just take a few particulars. Your name, sir?
Mason.
Initials?
W.J.
Address?
22 Adelaide Crescent, Worthing, if it makes any difference.
Well, we've got to keep the record straight. I'm hoping to get a form run off as soon as we collect someone who can run a duplicator. Age?
29.
Occupation?
Triffid grower.
Not much call for that now, I'm afraid. And you?
Platon, JV 42 Dean Road, NW 8. Age 22. No particular occupation.
Independent.
Very.
Miss, I presume.
Yes.
Yes. Well, nasty business, this, but there's plenty to be done. Mr. Beadley.
Hello?
Two new arrivals, Mr. Mason and Miss Platon. Oh,
how do you do?
How do you do?
Telegraph to my office.
I'll see you later.
Don't you want references in triplicate?
I'm thinking of the Colonel.
That's right.
Yes, he is a bit of a civil servant. So he's right in a way. We've got to get ourselves organized. There we are. Now, do sit down.
Thank you.
What's the position at the moment?
Well, up to the present, there are about 35 of us. We hope some more will come in during the day.
Have they all got their sight?
28 of them. The others are relatives or children. At the moment, the general idea is that we move away from here sometime tomorrow and go down into the country.
We'll be going this afternoon.
Oh. What sort of transport have you got?
It's a station wagon. We haven't stocked it up yet.
Oh.
All we've got is a lot of anti-trifid gear.
Well, that's a funny thing to make your first essential.
Not really.
You're going to be a good deal of trouble.
Well, surely there aren't enough to cause a lot of bother.
Oh, there are plenty in the nursery.
Yes, but they're all fenced in. Still, bring the gear by all means if you think it'll come in handy.
Mm-hmm.
You do want to come with us, by the way.
Well, what do you think, Gisella?
Yes, we need company.
Then here's what I suggest. Bring in your car, dump your stuff, and then drive off and swap it for a good-sized lorry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do either of you know anything about doctoring?
Not a thing.
Oh, no, me.
Oh, well, otherwise I'd have sent you off on a medical scrounge. You'd better go after the stuff on this list.
Yeah. Pots, pans, blankets, and food.
Yes, and concentrate on bulk. Cans and packets are your best line.
Yes.
Do as much as you can before dark. There'll be a general meeting and discussion here about 9:30 this evening.
Right.
Have you got a gun?
No.
Well, you'd better have, just in case. And you, Miss Platon.
What? Yeah. Oh, I feel like a gangster.
Well, better than what you'll become if some of the citizens in this town get hold of you. See you this evening, then.
Yes.
Good scrounging.
Okay. Over here.
Bill Mason, isn't it?
Yes.
Which list were you working from?
Pots, pans, blankets, and food.
Oh, here's Gisella.
Whoa! Leave her there.
Right.
Well, how have you made out, Bill?
We got all the stuff on the list.
And a bit more besides.
Ah, splendid.
I made a plan of where it's all packed in case you want anything special.
Well, I wish they'd all do that. Is this the trifid gear you put here?
Yes.
It wasn't on the list.
No, but I thought it might come in useful.
Ah, yes, of course, but, well, haven't you got enough already?
It doesn't take up much room.
Well, still, oh, well, leave it for the moment. Well, I dare say you could do with a cup of tea.
Certainly could.
There's a canteen operating in the hall.
Oh, thanks.
All right, next one in. Come along.
I never want to see another sack of flour as long as I live.
Yeah, we've got completely lost.
There are far more people than there were this morning.
Excuse me?
Hmm?
Mr. Mason, Mr.
Yes?
Mason.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Quite still, please. I want a picture of you.
What?
Oh, don't tell me. You're the press.
More or less. I'm the official record. Elspeth Clare is the name.
Hello.
The post.
It sounds like the Colonel's idea.
Mm, it is. Are you really Gisella Clayton?
Yes, and I wrote the book, and none of it's true.
Somebody said you were worried about trifids, Mr. Mason.
Yes, yes, I am. I think they're troublesome enough to be taken seriously when they get out of town.
Surely that couldn't happen in England.
Oh, all sorts of things can happen in England now.
Oh, there's Ivan. He may be able to tell us something. He's been cruising around in a helicopter all afternoon. Mm. Ivan! Ivan!
Hi, hello.
Bill Mason.
How do you do?
Gisella Clayton. This is Ivan Simpson.
Hello.
Intrepid birdman. Did you see any trifids wandering around outside London?
Trifids?
Mm. No, I don't think so. Well, not that you'd notice them much from the air, and besides, I was too busy following roads to take in much else. Mm-hmm. What are they like?
Oh, not too bad. Most of the drivers seem to have had time to pull up. Of course, it wasn't a busy time of day.
Mm-hmm.
I went as far as Reading, and they seemed pretty clear.
Did you see many people?
No, hardly a soul. They stay at home.
Will you write me up a description of the trip?
Well, if you like, yes. What's that?
Everybody in the next of the other, please, for a conference.
Well.
Everybody, please. Oh,
that means us.
I wonder if this is all about.
Pretty organized.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, and it's probably the last time that I shall use that phrase, the committee has appointed me as its chairman, and I'm now going to introduce them to you. But first of all, I want to say this. The world we knew has ended in a flash. Some of us may be feeling that it's the end of everything. It's not, unless we allow it to be. We can begin to build again. We must start now.
You've got the right idea.
But Colonel Jake is now going to give you some administrative details.
Quiet, please. Now, as you know, it is our intention, for reasons of health, to get away from built-up areas as soon as possible. We hope to move off at 1,200 hours tomorrow. We have now accumulated stocks which we hope will allow us to live in isolation for about a year. It may prove possible to supplement them from nearby towns in a few months, but that depends entirely on the decision of our medical staff. All right? Any questions?
Where are we going?
All members will be informed of our destination later.
He nearly said all right.
Well, thank you, Carol. Well, now, as you know, one of our main worries today has been that we've not come across anyone with medical knowledge. And it's with great relief, therefore, that I welcome Miss Burr, who is not actually a doctor, but who does hold high nursing qualifications.
Oh,
Miss Burr, I'd be grateful if you'd say a few words.
Oh, yes,
I can only say that I'll do everything I possibly can. We must expect a certain amount of infection to be about in the next few days, and you can help us to avoid it by reporting at once if you feel ill, by eating nothing that has been exposed to the air, and drinking nothing unless it's been boiled or comes out of a bottle.
Quiet, please, quiet.
After the meeting, will everyone please line up to be inoculated against typhoid, paratyphoid, and cholera.
Thank you, Miss Bell. That's right. Thank you very much. Now, our last speaker is going to talk on a slightly different subject. Here is Dr. Vorlis, who's professor of sociology at the university.
My friends, the world we knew is gone. Finished. Our needs are now different. Therefore, our standards must be different. For instance, you have all spent the day indulging with clear consciences in what 2 days ago would have been housebreaking and theft. You have already lost one prejudice, and I suggest to you that you must lose others. Now, it will not be easy, but unless we can form our own rules of conduct, we shall cease to exist. Therefore, there is one thing to be made quite clear to you before you decide to join our community. The men must work. The women must have babies. We can afford to support a limited number of women who cannot see because they will have babies who can see. We cannot afford to support men who cannot see. In our new world, babies become very much more important than husbands.
What are you grinning at? People's expression. Michael Beadley looked a bit anxious.
He should worry. If Brigham Young could bring it off in the middle of the 19th century, this ought to be a pushover.
I think so. There's someone who doesn't agree with you, look.
Speaker
is advocating free love.
I think the questioner must be aware that I never mention love, free, bought, or bartered. Will she please make the question clear?
I am asking if you suggest the abolition of the marriage law.
The laws we knew have been abolished by circumstances.
There is still the law of decency.
A Mohammedan preserves rigid respectability with 3 wives. And so did Solomon with 300. Oh, these are matters of local custom. For our own survival, We must develop our own customs in these matters. And those who come with us must adhere to them.
And if we refuse?
Those who do not wish to are perfectly free to start other communities on such lines as they think fit.
You're not grinning now.
Well, there's a lot to take in.
Come on, Joe. Let's get these jabs and then find somewhere quiet. I want to talk to you.
All right.
Oh, I took that last line out of context. That was part one of part three. Day of the Triffids. Or part five of part 12 or something.
Right. It's, yeah, I don't know what all day it is anymore. All these days going on.
Definitely so, a bit of a post-apocalyptic tale.
Mm-hmm. Now, in order for them to survive, they've gotten rid of possibly two different things. One, we agree, they got rid of Congress. Next, they got rid of possibly religion and rules about marriage. Well, they need to work on population, and they're like, well, you know.
I've got a feeling there were some volunteers. I don't know why. I just think
but,
that
yeah.
there might be
and
a
then
few
get
fellows
out
who think that's a grand idea.
Okay, but this is moving towards an old concept of the village raises the child, right?
Could be.
You know where the phrase village idiot comes from, right?
Well, yeah, I've got a license in that.
My third grade teacher. That's where it came from.
There you go.
So this is almost... If you're familiar, this is almost moving towards a Walden 2 creation of society, if you're familiar with the book.
No.
Okay. B.F. Skinner wrote Walden 2, and it was about creating a different type of society that's more embracing and more the village raises everybody than what we've got now, which is very individual. But I digress. B.F. Skinner, we never thought we'd go there on Erie House, right?
No, why not?
Yeah, why not?
We've gone everywhere else. Why not?
Why not? B.F. Skinner is like one of my favorite writers and philosophers. So is Caravaggio as my artist guy. But, yeah. So, if you want to read something that's interesting, Walden, too. I think it fell apart in the end, though, and that's one of the problems with most societies. There will be a beginning, an upheaval, and a rising, and then a downfall. It's happened over and over again.
Yep.
And people. I don't know where we are in ours.
The problem with people is people.
I think our downfall started with the pet rock.
It could be.
Or the mood ring. Or the mood ring, yeah.
Or the mood ring.
The mood ring.
Or the black light poster.
Yes.
Yeah. Gotta have, Elvis
gotta
on
have,
velvet.
Got to have the one with the cobra, the black light poster. Everybody seemed to have that one.
Yeah, well, you guys are familiar with the black velvet, and then they put an Elvis picture on there? They painted it.
Yes. Yep.
That was a big one. I've never been big into Elvis, but it was out there.
This marks the fall of civilization.
Yeah.
The mood ring.
And
posters of Elvis.
And cars that float. Cars that float.
For a while.
There was a car that actually
yeah.
would cross water.
Right,
it
had a little tail propeller on the end of it. That when it went in the water, that boat moved it. Yeah.
just
a
little time.
Dinky thing too. I don't know how that could guide you anywhere. It was just a little dinky thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it had a steering wheel.
We got enough time to wrap up part two of part three or part six of part 12 of Day of the Triffids.
There we go. Beep, beep.
Nice to be alone again.
Someone's found an old gramophone, listen.
Uber Chaka, Uber Chaka.
Shall we sit this one out?
Oh, it's a lovely night.
Did your arm still sore?
No. Oh, she's quite good, that girl.
By the time she got to me, the needle was blunt.
When we girls were so busy arguing, we wouldn't have noticed that.
I wonder how many will decide to go.
Nearly all of them, when they've thought about it.
You think so?
Most women want babies.
Do they?
Well, provided they've got some form of security.
Might
have been all right for Solomon, but it's having to share a husband that worries them. After all, there are limits.
Are there?
Oh, Bill, don't tell me you're going to cling to the old order.
No. But it's difficult.
What is?
I love you. I was going to ask you to marry me. But there's not much point in it now.
Oh, Bill.
Is there?
I don't know, but I'll accept you all the same.
What?
Did you really think I wouldn't?
I didn't know.
Of course, it isn't quite as straightforward as it seems.
How do you mean?
Well, if I were the committee, I'd make a rule that every man who marries a sighted girl must take two blind girls as well.
What?
Well, that's about how the numbers work out.
You don't mean that.
I do. And so do they. Didn't you think it was implied in that speech?
Well, it may have been, but I don't see that they can hold anyone to that. I mean, it's completely unnatural.
No, it isn't. Listen, Bill, this isn't easy for me either, but we owe a sort of debt for being alive and able to see. Well, one of the ways of paying it is to help these girls to have as full a life as they can.
Well, that's a weird way of looking at it.
But it's right. I know it is.
Okay, if that's the way you think it ought to be.
Now, don't worry. I shall pick two nice, sensible girls for you.
Really?
Yes, I will.
Good. Shall we dance?
Yes.
Look after us. Couldn't look after ourselves. All the same. Who's smoking there?
Fire! Quick, come up! Downstairs, everyone! And help out the blind. They're on the ground floor. Quick as you can, but mind the stairs. All right, Bill.
Going down now.
Where's Priscilla?
She's
down. Hurry up. Now, this is most sickening.
Here comes another.
Who's that?
He's out. Now get him away. Here's another.
Wakey, wakey. Rise and shine. Ah, that's right. I thought I could hear you.
Oh, my head.
You had an accident, mate. That's what you had.
My hands. What the hell was tied them up?
Take it easy.
Tell me where I am. Why am I tied up?
Well, you see, you know there was a bit of a shindig up at the university yesterday morning.
Yes, I saw that.
Well, after we'd scarpered, that bloke Coker that was doing all the talking, like, got real nasty. He said you'd have to take what was coming to you.
What?
Well, we met up with a couple of other fellas they could see, and they fixed it all up between them.
Fixed what?
The fire. He's a lad, that Coker. You can't help laughing.
You mean the fire was faked?
Well, of course it was. They rigged up a tripwire, see, lit a lot of paper and stuff in the hall, and started in ding-donging the bell. Well, as soon as you come downstairs, over you went, bang went Coker with a caution, we put you on the lorry. It was dead easy.
Where are we?
Oh, we're in an hotel, the Talisman. It's a posh one, too. It's got a palm tree in the hall. I know that because I walked into it. You can't help laughing, can you?
I can.
Oh, you don't want to take it like that.
No. How many of us did you get?
Well, a couple of dozen, but six of them was blind.
And what are you going to do with us, eh?
Get organised, I suppose. Oh, hello. Is this Coker?
Yes, it's Coker.
Good morning, Captain. All correct.
Come on in, Matt. Now, stand there. Right. What's your name?
Mason.
All right, Mason. Now, let's have your hands, and don't try anything when they're untied.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
I'll tell you in a minute. If you won't help other people, you've got to be made to. Matt?
Hello.
Handcuffs. All right. Shut up. That'll give you a bit more freedom.
A bit.
All you'll need. Now, let's have the chain, Matt.
Here, I'll put the strap in my leg, right?
Good. Now, get just this side of him. That's it. Now, the chain through his arm. Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hold still.
Al.
Al, yes, come on. On this side, and the strap round your wrist. There.
It's like a sort of shotgun wedding, isn't it?
Now, Mason, I want you to look at this street plan. You're going to take these two and 50 others, and you're going to go by truck to your area. Once there, you will find them accommodation and lead them to supplies. There'll be others working to right and left of you, so stay in your boundaries.
But how am I supposed to help anyone tied up like this?
You'll manage. Now, look, here's your area. Maida Vale to Fitzjohn's Avenue. It's no farther in than Swiss Cottage, but you can go as far out as you like. Oh, and I shouldn't let them get hungry if I were you. Some of them are tough.
Aye, some of them have knives, mister. Like me.
I'll be out to check up on where you are. But otherwise, you'll be on your own till someone turns up to straighten out all this mess.
If they come.
They'll come. You'll probably get a medal for your noble work.
Yeah.
All right?
One thing.
Yes?
Did you get a girl called Costella Platon in your raid?
I think so.
Where have you sent her?
Westminster.
That lot won't find much grub, will they? Not in the Houses of Parliament, will they?
Well, don't try wandering off to find her.
You'll know.
I believe you. Lead them down to the street. There's trucks waiting.
And the best of luck to you.
All right.
Six steps. One, two, three, four, five, six.
Right. Now, we'd better go in first and have a look round on our own.
Wait where you are, the lot of you.
Wait there, all of you.
One more step into the hall.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There. Hi. Hotel, is it?
Yeah.
Ah. Any palm trees?
No, it's a step down from that.
Oh.
Seems empty.
Well, what's the drill, then?
Bring them in four at a time, hands on shoulders, and then find them somewhere to sleep.
Right. The first four of you, come on.
Come on, the first four.
Six steps, remember.
Yeah.
One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Five.
One, two, three, and turn. There. It's funny. I never thought what it'd be like kipping down all strung together.
There's a lot of things you never thought of.
Oh, shut up.
No. He's right, mate. It's going to be difficult.
And it'll be more difficult if your man here shoves up and leaves us in the toilet.
Oh.
I never said I'd do that.
But you would if you could.
And I don't blame you, mate, either.
But I'll carve you if you try.
I'm not much use to your dad.
Well, you'll not be dead, mate. Just carve.
Oh, look, come on. Let's change the subject, eh? What are we going to do tomorrow?
Forage for food.
Ah, and the next day?
Eat it. And then we can sit back cozy. Feel laughing it off, eh? So we run out?
Oh, something will turn up, don't you worry.
Is anyone there?
Who's that?
Right, sounds like the little kid they call Lucy. What do you want, darling?
The man who can see.
I'm here.
Can you come up, please? There's something wrong.
What is it?
Some of the people are ill. They're very hot, and they've got dreadful pains. I think they've got something bad.
Yes, all right, I'll come.
Oh, something will turn up. Don't you worry, Mac. It has.
That was the third episode of Giles Cooper's dramatization of The Day of the Triffids by John Wyndham.
Listen to the next episode of John Powell's production of The Day of the Triffids, Dead End.
What is it?
Say,
what is it?
Hey, why, it's buttercup. Popcorn and sweet cream butter, two hot popcorn. Mix it up, wrap it up, buttercup is born.
It's delicious.
So nutritious.
It's a taste delight.
It's so munchy.
Crisp and crunchy.
You'll enjoy it by the butter-drenched buttercup. Popcorn at its best.
Served in a king-size cup.
It beats all the rest.
By the way, I hope you let the, your friends out of your out of the trunk. It's not necessary here at this drive-in because it's free, no matter how many of you there are.
Now you tell me.
Yep. This drive-in runs rain, snow, bright sun. We can show it at noon. Blog talk permitting, why we'll be here whenever.
Oh, there's the disclaimer you need. Blog talk permitting.
Yes.
Did you guys go to drive-ins when you were youngsters?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did. I did.
More as a young adult, quite honestly. I more as a father than as a kid. I only remember going to a drive-in once. But I remember taking dates and not watching the movie. I remember later on as a married guy taking the kids.
Yeah,
I remember.
Go ahead, Gar.
I remember in high school going with a friend, and we watched a horror movie in the drive-in, and it was Stacy Keach is some demented killer. It, very bizarre.
Wow. Now, I went more as a child because we didn't usually go to the theater, but the drive-in theater, you know, the whole family got in for one price, and mom would pack a picnic basket, and they'd have the playground and everything, so we'd get there, you know, early enough and play on the playground, and then cartoons started when it was just starting dusk, and get to the movies, you got to see two movies, so yeah.
I recall seeing as a kid Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Something like that.
Yeah, that was one. And we saw the Gnome Mobile with Walter Brennan, a Disney movie. And
oh, the Gnome Mobile.
Yeah.
There you go.
No place like Gnome.
No place like Gnome, yeah.
Yes. It's an Alaska story.
No place like Gnome, Alaska. Okay, all right, there you go. All right, okay, we'll give it to you.
I gotta hit one time or another. One of them's gotta be a hit.
and remember, if you guys remember, you'd cruise in there and you roll down your window and you put this big speaker and you roll it back up.
Yep.
And a lot of people drove off with the speaker, although I would think it would damage your window, but
it could. Those things are pretty heavy. I could see them chipping glass. Last time Bob was to a drive-in was he went with a Navy shipmate. They took taking a VW camper bus with beer in the fridge. There you go.
Good old Bob. What movie did you see, or were you too cross-eyed drunk to remember?
I don't know, but tomorrow we're gonna. Tomorrow we're going to wrap up Day of the Triffids with parts 6 through 12 or 3 through 6, depending on how you look at it.
I absolutely lost count on the chapters, but it's a good run. One of the things they introduced in there, they said, we don't have a doctor, but we've got somebody and we're going to help out. And they mentioned everybody's going to get inoculations.
Yep.
And that's not going to work in 2023.
Real quick, tomorrow we might have to do a two-hour show to squeeze it all in there as soon as we're done, or even before we finish, Gar the Ghoul, horror on the Twitches. Five seconds. Go.
Horror, horror, boy, be there, Twitch, or whatever. Wow.
As the lights are growing dim, there's no one left but me and him.
And him, too.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
See you tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern.
Can you dig it?
This is so jolly.
Are you feeling okay, Dale?
Me?
Yeah. Kind of all right? Oh, okay.
Breathing.
But you're not spiking or dropping or anything?
I'm not. Yeah, spiking a little bit here and there lately.
More like
drops more than spikes upwards. Or more like when my sugar's high, I just get sleepy. It's not a big deal, but I get like my vision goes and I get twitchy and stuff when it crashes.
I had to call in because I wasn't sure about the correct approach to changing the bandaging on my foot for the big toe trick I got done. And they questioned me and said, so what were your numbers? And I was like, we didn't do numbers. They're like, what? You're supposed to do numbers? Oh, my God, they didn't do numbers. And I was like, lady, here's how it works. I know if I feel bad. I know if I'm high. I know if I'm low on the blood sugar. There are symptomology to it. You know. And you know what? That day, you know, I was maybe at 150, and I was like, okay, you know, I'm all right. Did I test it? Did I have a number? I didn't. And I hope they don't, you know, pull my doctor on the carpet about it. You were supposed to get a number. I was like, I felt okay. I went in, you know, and I got it done.
Well, when you use it, and see, you don't use insulin, but when you're using insulin, you do have to have some awareness. I should measure more than I do because it would be wise on a day that I know I've exercised more, like worked harder in the yard or a meal that was very light on carbs and or sugar, that I'd more likely to crash. So maybe I want to take a unit less or two than my normal dosage.
Right.
Don't try this at home. Do what your doctor tells you. But that's what I do.
Well, speaking of, I have the home kit, so I can take, I'm supposed to be taking blood levels once a day, twice a day, something like that. And I don't, you know, unless if I start feeling weird, I'll go and run to the test kit and go, what's going on? More times than not.
When you start feeling weird, you call Erie House. But.
But.
What in the blazes is that?
I don't know. Dave's phone is going crazy.
Stop.
Did you just win a game show or something?
Yeah.
I tapped something on my phone and I can't get rid of it now.
Dave's new name is Bob Barker.
There you go. Somebody's got to fill his shoes.
Someone got to fill his shoes, man. Yeah.
Yeah, didn't he pass recently?
He did. Yeah. It's crazy when you think, I didn't realize it. Yeah. I didn't realize it, but when we get to our age, and I'm grouping myself in with you guys, that our contemporaries we grew up with, actor, celebrity-wise, man, they're falling off the tree like, you know, ripe fruit.
Yeah.
They're
dropping like flies, quite honestly.
They're dropping like flies. There you go. And,
That's kind of sad, but.
One of my viewers for a long time, for 15 years, dropped dead. And he was younger than I. And I was like, the hell? But he went through a whole bunch of, he had brain cancer and all sorts of stuff.
For those of you that know him, Paul Zilla passed away this week.
Yes. I just heard about that. From Saint Angel, Angel Saint.
Yes, Angel Saint Savant.
Yeah, there you go.
She's called in here a few times, and she used to do a blog talk show.
She was in the audience 2 weeks ago or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
She'll be back. Yeah. She'll be back, and she might do her own thing. She's thinking about it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna prod her in that direction.
Yeah. She, in the past few years, has gone through COVID and other physical maladies that, you know, she's on the mend, but she's had a heck of a trials and tribulations.
Yeah, both of you guys. You've been through a few things.
To the point. Yeah, well, hey, It's like that movie, The Never Ending Story. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. October is filled with more doctor appointments. I don't know. I'm just along for the ride right now. I've done everything I'm going to do in life. I'm done. I'm not going to. There are certain things that are never going to happen, and that's okay. We'll just see where it goes. I'm still having fun. Voice or no voice.
Yeah.
I guess that's the thing. There was a guy named Joseph Campbell, and again, another reading guy. Joseph Campbell went through, and he was looking at all the different cultures and subcultures he could run across on the planet. And I mean, it was a journey. At the end of it, he combined all his knowledge of all the different folks that he met, and he came up with two things. He said, this is the base premise for most cultures. Find your passion and follow your bliss. And that's, what, as long as you can do that, you're going to be all right.
I followed my bliss long enough and finally stopped and picked me up. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, keep your thumb up.
I thought you said bus. I'm sorry. I thought you said bus.
No. Bliss. You don't need a bus ticket for bliss. You don't need a transfer card for bliss. We hope.
There you go.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I think at this stage in our game, everybody should kind of, whether they admit it to anyone else or not, I think they found their passion, whatever it is, and they follow their bliss to this point.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Bliss but should one be of the followed.
Things, one thing I'm trying to overcome with all this congestion and garbage, I'm actually going to be illustrating a book for someone.
Are you now?
Yeah. But
that's great.
I'm going to put those cartoons to work. Someone wants me to illustrate a book about a cat that they had that passed away, and I'm going to illustrate. I've got some things in my mind. I need to put it on paper. But where's the need to be able to look at paper without turning green?
Yeah.
So it's kind of good. So, again, the never-ending journey, I tell you. Well, it does end.
Follow your bliss. Follow your bliss.
Yeah,
follow my bliss.
We don't want no endings right now.
There's
been enough
endings. I got plenty of ink pens. I got paper. I'm okay. I just need to calm down with all this stuff going on. And,
nothing real sharp, right?
Well, no, the doctors keep me away from too many sharp objects.
I was going to hope so. That's
like, hey there, fella. Put it down. Back away.
Now I have to watch the movie. Not tomorrow, but after the radio program.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you
got to watch the movie, find out about, oh, my God, Campbell. Robert Campbell, I believe. Read about B.F. Skinner and Walden, too, and all this other stuff that you got out of the show.
Yep.
Yeah, the Walden, too, is, I don't even know. I ran across that in my late high school. I think I took some courses, advanced courses in philosophy or psychology, and B.F. Skinner was a sociologist or something. And he wrote a book. He's like, well, there you go.
Interesting.
Interesting. I would like to see it work. Go ahead.
I was going to go to a psychologist, but I thought, that's crazy.
I have one assigned, but I haven't seen the guy in a while. They haven't scripted any appointments back for a while. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, Dale did go to a psychologist. He went to a silly psychiatrist.
Yep.
On the Weirdest Really Bad Movie. He did. Yeah.
Yes, I did. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
She was great. I love, because that was a running, she was that doctor for a lot of things, right?
She was she was a psychologist. Yeah, she had a lot of things. Her sketches, plus she showed up in hosting segments once in a while. As that also. Yeah.
She was one of
every time I go to a psychiatrist, the first thing they ask and the last thing they ask is, do you want any meds? And I'm like, no. You want any meds?
Really?
I got this pad right here. What do you want? I'm like, what? No, I don't want anything.
You got a bowl here to try out things or what? You know, what is this?
Gave me enough of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're like M&M's over here.
Yeah. Yeah, Well, the ones that give out free samples. And it's like, no, I'm not part of the experiment.
Well, I felt that way about other things. It's a great experiment.
There's that. Yeah. I couldn't be part of the experiment because I couldn't handle it. So I was on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of people did a lot of crazy stuff, and I'm like, wow, okay. You know, you go, you be you in this crazy world.
Yeah. Getting crazier all the time. It produces
I was going to say, I'm just waiting for a world without Congress. What could happen?
I want to see a world with more comedy. People are not laughing as much as they used to.
I try to bring what I can. I really do.
But I know you do. That's why we love you here. Your comedy is positive. You know what I mean? It's not like hateful or denigrating.
Except that some people will look to be offended by it.
Well,
and to me, that's a choice. Because and it's so hard to... Here's my thoughts on that, Dave, and I'm sort of glad and sort of not so glad that you brought it up, because who knows who's going to be whining about us talking about it. But you got to understand that feelings change. And to my mind, the very definition of maturity is mastering your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a kid, you're very emotional, and you give in to impulses. You eat too much candy. You stay up when you shouldn't. You know what I mean? Because you don't understand responsibility and the things you're doing to yourself. So the very definition of maturity is mastering your emotions. And if you can't master them, then, you know, unless I'm being extremely naive and there's other factors, you know, I don't know.
No, there's an aspect of understanding that we have no control over other people's emotional states.
It's
those cuckoo crazy over there because, you know, we walk with both feet or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You know, I mean, you tell a joke, for example, about a car accident, and all of a sudden somebody, my uncle was just in one last night, and blah, 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 blah.
But
it almost feels like people are hunting for reasons to be offended.
Right, they're hunting for they're looking for reasons to be offended. And instead of, you know what, back in the day when we were all growing up, we basically had three channels, and public television, educational television. It was called back then. So we had basically three channels. I had four because I got a Canadian one anyway. But if there's something that was that offensive, you just change the channel. Instead of sitting there watching and grumbling and complaining about it, you change the channel. Now you got 500 channels you can go to, and you know.
Yeah, you got a lot more choice. Absolutely. If you don't like what you see,
if you don't like what you're watching, You know, I was never a big fan of Andrew Dice Clay, so I didn't watch his stuff. I didn't complain about it, but I didn't watch it. You know,
or. You could be like Ray Milland and X, the man with the X-ray eyes, if thine eye offends thee.
Oh,
that one terrified me as a kid. That whole scene of him doing that.
Wasn't the one with Lon Chaney Jr. and he could walk through walls and stuff? He'd like burn right through it.
You're not talking about Indestructible Man, are you?
Yeah, that one probably.
I don't know if he could
walk through walls,
like
he got
invisibility, but he had like incredible strength.
Right, and they gave him this serum that he wouldn't die. So
Then there was another really, and this one terrified me. The Incredible Melting Man, astronaut comes back from space and he starts melting. It's like ooh.
I'd watch that.
I'd watch that. I pull back on the gross factor on that and go, no, we're not going to show it on Hard Wire.
It was a while ago, too. It can't be as good as the guy who melted away in Raiders of the Lost Ark when they opened up the Ark at the end.
It was a lot slower. It took them 2 hours to melt, you know.
Oh, cool.
It was slow melting, you know. It was a slow boil or something. It was just, No, we have the opportunity to be happy. We can be happy, and we can seek out being happy and find comedy and stuff. And like you said, Dave, the Andrew Dice Clay, I was like, a little bit rough. But then I ran across Sam Kinison. I was like, man, that's rough, but it's funny.
Yeah, exactly. I love
that's true.
They would never, survive today. Don Rickles, even he would get hacked to pieces. Nope.
Cancel culture, yeah.
And everybody's got a camera, so everybody's trying to get the goods on somebody too. And it's like, I'm so grateful that they did not have cell phones when I grew up.
The stuff that you involved yourself in, I remember when I saved the guy's life. He almost got hit by a car, and I grabbed him and pulled him to the side. If that was on camera, hey, you know, it'd be something to remember. I remember it. Or some amazingly stupid Daredevil stuff I did as a kid. Love to have it on film, and the fact that I survived it, you know.
Yeah. I think that's the amazing thing sometimes, that we survive some of the things we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some things where it's like, you know.
I don't know. Yeah,
you're walking that bridge.
In spite of Murphy's Law, here we are. In spite of Darwin, I should say, here we are.
Yes, yeah. Well, we love Darwin. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I think that there was a circumstance where I was walking across a branch that was over a body of water. And if you got to the other side, you would be on the other side of whatever. But, man, you get to that halfway point and go, like, was this a good idea? It was moving water underneath. It was like, was this a good idea?
I in particular love the Darwin Awards, because it's very, very comforting to know that there just might be someone, maybe a couple people dumber than me, I'm hoping.
Yeah, there you go. And nowadays, it's documented. People filming Darwin Awards every year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're filming that stuff and stunts, and they die right on YouTube, you know.
That's great.
What did we have? We had candid cameras. That was our...
Yeah.
And
they had to go to great lengths to hide those cameras, too, because technology being what it was at the time.
And then for a while, because people just got so gruff that they ended up on Playboy Channel just because of the language people would use. And then Alan Funt, I saw him on something, and he said, you just can't do a candid camera anymore just because, you know, they're too vile in their language. They want to fight. They want to do this.
Yeah.
And he gave up candid camera, not because the idea wasn't popular, but because of the fact that how people reacted, that was different than the way people used to react.
Yeah, like here's an example, Dave. That you brought up a great example. Some folks I know are discussing this rather aggressively on both sides of the issue. There are people who go around and film for the heck of it. And if you're in a public place, you can shoot film. Well, some people have a problem with somebody shooting in front of their storefronts or whatever. And it's like, legally, they have a right to be there. They can't chase you off. Any public place, like in a library, you can start shooting films. Well, some libraries are trying to make rules. You can't come in with a camera. Well, they do that. It's, you know, government property, so therefore it's a public place. So you can cry all you want, but if somebody legally can go in there, they can go in there and shoot. Why they'd want to, I don't know, but
yeah,
I don't care.
It's not private property, so yeah.
Yeah.
And because of the days and times, people get litigious on you. You know, yeah. They'll take it.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Everybody's lawsuit happy. Each going to work.
That was another part of the candy camera thing, too. He said, we got so many nuisance lawsuits that people say, well, hey, I was on camera and you didn't credit me or you didn't give me any money. He said we were constantly, and this was way back when, so we constantly dishing out $250 to each person just to make them go away. And it doesn't take long before, you know, 10 people and you've just dished out $2,500. And
I just saw this. I don't know if it's real, but I just saw this. That Walmart posted a notice on their door that says, no one under 17, unless they're accompanied by their parents, is allowed inside. And I was like, what? Wow.
That could be in an area where there's a lot of juvenile problems.
Yep.
Yeah.
It technically is a private business. They can have who they want as customers.
Yep.
Yeah, but that was a big, like, man, I'm glad they didn't have that when I was around.
They had them, not when I was up, but, you know, when my kids were very, very young, they had them in a lot of the, like, the 7-Elevens and the Dairy Marts and things like that outside of in the school areas. You know, they get out of school, and then they could go in and just overload, you know, whoever was ever working inside the store.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, the most I ever saw was no shirt, no shoes, no service. But now
I feel terribly sorry for kids growing up today. Number one, they don't have Horror House. They don't have Three Stooges. They don't have Warner Brothers. Okay. Also, they don't have the freedom to run out and play until dark. Man, I mean, you got to keep an iron grip. You got to watch your kids constantly because of what's going on.
I don't even go out and play until it's dark. I'm scared.
Until it's dark.
And you're a ghoul. Yeah.
And I'm a ghoul.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard gunshots out there. I'm like, what the heck? What are you guys doing over there, man? My goodness.
Well, they're playing over there. They're playing over there. It's just gunplay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks. For anything, I mean, I have to go out there and they have a little circular thing around a palm tree that I hand water. And I get a little bit nervous out there just, you know, going out there and watering darn plant.
Yeah.
Drive-by stuff. But,
group.
Well, the palm tree gets big enough you can hide behind it then, you know, as you're watering it.
I'm fair game for a drive-by. That's what I hate. You know. I'm bigger than the plant. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. One of my biggest answers to solutions to problems I learned from Sam Kinison when he was talking about the starving people in Ethiopia. He said, don't send them
food.
Don't send them food. Send them luggage. You live in a desert. Oh. And he's going on and on. But
move where the food is. Have a good day. There you go.
But luggage is the solution to many problems. I don't feel sorry for people in California when there's an earthquake. You knew there could be earthquakes.
Yeah.
Luggage is the solution, baby.
Your state is built on a fault line. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
I don't.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Superman
I can't feel sorry. There was a blizzard in Canada. Here's some luggage.
Oh no!
If you don't use it, it's on. If you don't use it, it's on you.
Hurricanes in Florida. You know, send U-Hauls. You know.
There you go.
And why? Why? I don't understand why in a hurricane state would there actually be a market for mobile homes?
Right. Yeah. How could you send them in the Midwest, like Oklahoma? They have tornadoes.
Yeah.
Tornadoes hunt
for
mobile homes. They hunt for them.
Yeah. So does a hurricane. Yeah. It looks for them.
Yeah.
The bumper stickers, God hates mobile homes. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
And I don't know about that absolute sentiment, but something's seeking these things out. They just like to roll them to see, you know, it's like rolling dice. You know, how many times can we get it to spin?
Yeah.
It's crazy. But there are all these things. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm running out of gas, gentlemen. We'll be back tomorrow for part two or parts three, four through six, or part six.
Oh, we're up to 87. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of parts of this thing. A lot of moving parts.
A lot of moving parts. Yes, there are.
Yeah. And we'll go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you guys have a great time tomorrow, and I'll catch you next Friday.
Yeah, we'll probably catch you at your broadcast there, sir.
All right. Yeah, I'll get everything ready for that.
All right, I'll fill in for the lovely and delightful CW and bring the equally lovely and delightful Mr. Jimmy Durant.
Good night.
Good night.
Take care, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
What more is this say but good night? We've had a few laughs and a hat put to the loop. Sorry for what we say and
do-ka-do-ka-do, yeah.
Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
We're not already. She's in Westchester. Gotta keep up with her.
And now, folks, it's time to say good night. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.
Pick up the speakers off your car window.
Yep.
Good night.